others don't as the years go by. And one of the interesting things about Ron is that he's a real software junkie. I don't know anybody that goes through as much software as Ron Rhodes. This guy has multiple email programs, multiple spreadsheets, multiple databases, multiple word processors, and that's just for one operating system. And then for another operating system, he has other programs. He knows how to program himself and write scripts. And I'm sure before I go too much further, I'll leave the rest of us wondering, is this English? And that's just part of Ron. Another part of Ron is he loves music. And he's very talented. He can play instruments. He can sing. I can do neither. I go to Ron for my software questions. I'm trying to figure out the very basics of a new email program that I'm trying because of his advice, and I can't hardly get it kick-started, but Ron, he knows it inside and out. He's probably on another one already that I don't know about. So that's my brother Ron, and he's one of our board members, and I am thankful for his life. I thank God for him, and I would like you to thank him with another round of applause. Come on up, Ron.
Thanks, Rich. Just give me a call. I'll help you with that program. You know, he mentioned music. I actually met Jesus in the music industry. Isn't that something? Didn't meet Jesus in the church, but I met Jesus in the show business industry. Remember visiting a church one time, and this church was a church that a friend of Carrie and mine invited us to, a mutual friend of ours, and so we went to this church, and the head of the education department was teaching. And this guy got up there and said, you know, went into sort of a New Age message to this group of individuals and said that all religions are like spokes on a wheel. You ever heard that? All religions are like spokes on a wheel. And then he went into about a half hour of defense of this idea. So I raised my hand. Carrie starts to scoot away from me. Oh, no, here he goes again. She knew what was coming, and so I said, you know, in John 14:6, Jesus said that he's the only way to salvation, and in Acts 4:12, Peter said that there's no other name under heaven by which a man can be saved. And in 1 Timothy 2:5, we're told that there's one God and one mediator between man and God, and that's the person of Jesus, not Krishna or Buddha or anyone else, but just Jesus. Well, you could have heard a pin drop. I said it real lovingly, but you could have heard a pin drop. How dare a visitor challenge the head of the education department? I looked over at the teacher. The jaw was on the floor. I looked over at the students. Their jaws were all dropped wide open. I looked over at Carrie, and she had this look on her face that said, Ron, just give the word and we'll run for it. But then this teacher looked at me and said, Ron, I feel sorry for you going through life so narrow-minded. Well, I almost quoted Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount. Narrow is the way. But I had decided by that time that I better keep my mouth shut. I was getting an elbow in the rib from Carrie. So, but anyway, you know, that's really indicative of what's going on out there. That's not really that unique. There's a lot of churches teaching those same kinds of ideas. And what we're talking about this evening in this closing session is the culting of America. Folks, we've got ourselves a major problem on our hands. And unfortunately, the great majority of Christians are unaware that we've got a problem. And what I want to do tonight is to show you and to define for you just what the problem is and how you can play a role in being part of the solution. Now, if you have your outline before you, you'll notice that there is a little section on the growth of different groups like the Mormon Church and the Jehovah's Witnesses and the New Age Movement. I don't want to spend much time here because I think some of the messages we've already heard today probably have already driven home the point to you that these groups are growing quite rapidly. But let me just mention a few points to you. Did you know that the Mormons are spending over $550 million per year in its worldwide missionary efforts? You know, that breaks down to over $10 million a week. That's more than a lot of big companies spend, isn't it? And as a result of those efforts, they've got over 1,500 new members joining the church each and every day. Now, you've seen some of their commercials, right? Have you seen the commercials on TV? They're pretty good. They're pretty well done. But have you noticed that they never talk about their doctrine? They don't come on there and go, "Would you like to become a god ruling your own planet? Call 1-800-55." You know, they don't do that. Instead, what they do is that they talk about American values, and they talk about the family unit, and they talk about another testament of Jesus Christ. And you call this number, and you can get a free video and a free Bible. Everybody wants free stuff, right? Of course, they don't tell you that it will be hand-delivered by two Mormon missionaries. But it has proven to be a very effective way of getting people into the church. Well, the Jehovah's Witnesses are growing rapidly, too. Did you know that there's over 4.5 million Jehovah's Witnesses devoting more than 1 billion man-hours each year spreading their doctrines? That's a lot of time. That's a lot of time. And their literature alone is just going through the roof. We've had a few references to that earlier in the day, but let me just give you one example. They have a book called You Can Live Forever in Paradise on Earth, and they've presently, up to this past year, they've distributed over 47 million copies of that one book. That's a lot of books, folks. I mean, when you measure that up against the New York Times bestsellers, this is way more than those bestsellers sell. Not only that, but the Watchtower magazine has a larger distribution than Newsweek, Time, U.S. News, and World Report combined. That's a lot, isn't it? This is the Watchtower Society. New Age movement is growing fast as well. In fact, one person called the New Age the fastest growing alternative belief system in the country. And you know, I think they're probably right, but it's more of a fast growing cancer. It's eating up Western culture. And unfortunately, just like there can be a person who is ignorant of the fact that there's a cancer in his body, he's unaware of it. So what we see happening in our own country is that a cancer, a spiritual cancer, is eating away at our country. And so many Christians are unaware of what's going on out there. That's why conferences like this are so important. That's why it's important to raise the awareness of what's going on. How many New Agers are there? That's hard to say. It's very hard to say, but when you look at some statistics, at least we can get an inkling of how large the New Age movement is. For example, did you know that there is about 67% of American adults who have claimed to have a psychic experience this past year? 67%, that's a lot. 43% of teenagers today believe in extrasensory perception. About 1 in 4 Americans believes in precognition, which is the psychic ability to predict the future. 1 out of 3 Americans believe that fortune tellers can foresee the future. 30 million Americans believe in reincarnation. And Marilyn Ferguson once made the following statement. Sociologists at UC Santa Barbara estimate that as many as 12 million Americans could be considered active participants in the New Age movement, and another 30 million are avidly interested. Well, I think that's a very conservative figure. I think it's a lot more than that. But you can see where I'm going with this, right? There's an awful lot of people involved in the cults today. That's why I do what I do. That's why you see Rich and Paul and some of the other individuals here doing what they do. There is a real need for it. Now, I want to spend the next couple of minutes talking about what I perceive to be reasons for cultic growth in America. And I want you to strap in your seatbelts. We're going to engage into Warp 9 right now. We've got a lot to cover, but I don't want to overwhelm you. I know that this has been a long day for some of you. It's been a long day for me, too. That's why I took off my jacket. I'm just going to make myself at home. Now, let's begin with the increase in biblical illiteracy. Folks, we've got ourselves a major problem in terms of biblical literacy in this country. Did you know that the current statistics indicate that 35% of all people claiming to be born again do not read the Bible at all? At all. Now, let's put that into real figures. If you have a church of 500 adult members, that means that 175 do not read the Bible at all. How about a mega church of 5,000 members? If you have a church of 5,000 members, this statistic would indicate that 1,750 of those members do not read the Bible at all. And of the people who do read the Bible, they primarily do it during the 1 hour of church that they attend each Sunday morning. Now, that spells disaster, doesn't it? You want to know why so many Christians are a spiritual wasteland today? You want to know why so many Christians are buying into cultic ideas? It's because of cultic illiteracy, biblical illiteracy. People are biblically ignorant to the degree that they're vulnerable to cultic ideas. Not only that, but today in a lot of churches, doctrine is not emphasized that much. In fact, today's mindset is out with doctrine, in with practical answers. People want to learn about how to have a successful 1998 or how to raise your kids. And don't get me wrong, it's important that the church address those kinds of issues, but you can't address those issues to the exclusion of Bible doctrine. If you leave Bible doctrine out of the equation, you're inviting cultic intrusion. And the fact is that Scripture calls us to be biblically literate, and the Scriptures also call local churches to equip members to be biblically literate. So part of the reason for the cultic growth today is the church's fault. We haven't adequately trained church members. Now let me talk a little bit more about the failure of the Christian church. Now I'm not talking about this church. I'm talking about the church out there. I think this church is doing some wonderful work, but on the average, there's a lot of church that really aren't doing too much. Now, did you know that a significant percentage of cultists formerly attended a Christian church? In fact, Dr. Paul Martin, who is the director of the Wellspring Retreat and Resource Center, has worked with many cultists through the years, and he's interviewed what their previous backgrounds were, and he found that 25% of cultists formerly attended evangelical churches. 25%. And another 40% had backgrounds in the large, more liberal Protestant denominations. Church is doing something wrong here for that many people to leave the church and join up with a cult. We're doing something wrong. So what is it that we're doing wrong? Well, first of all, I think that if you examine things out there in the church today, you'll find that the church is failing to make a real moral difference in the lives of many of its members. A failure to make a moral difference. There was one study done by the Roper Organization that tested the behavior of born-again Christians before and after their conversion experiences, and the shocking result was that conversion made little difference in terms of moral behavior from any of these people. Now, it shouldn't be that way, should it? It really shouldn't be that way, but in fact, that's what we see happening, not taking place like it should today. Another failure of the church is the failure of providing a sense of belonging, the failure to provide a sense of belonging. There's a lot of large churches out there that don't make you feel like you're part of the family. And in fact, you may attend a smaller church where you're also experiencing that type of thing. You don't feel significant to some of the people who attend the church. By contrast, cults make you feel like you're part of something special. You're a member of our family. We need you. We want you to stay with us. And that's one of the reasons why a lot of people feel very comfortable in some of these cults. I also believe that the church has failed to meet some of people's deepest needs. You know, all of us have certain questions that we want addressed in life, don't we? Who am I? Why am I here? What is life all about? Is there a God, and does God have a plan for my life? And too often, the church does not address the answers to these questions. And when people are not getting answers to these questions, they look elsewhere for answers. And in fact, many people turn to these charismatic leaders of certain cults that seem to have black and white answers to lots of these problems. And so a lot of people latch on to these people in a search for the answers to life. And then finally, most important, I think churches have failed to make doctrine a high priority. You know, there's a lot of people today, a lot of churches today, that really have very little discussion of sin. Sin is not a politically correct idea today. A lot of churches don't address that issue. But you know, if you don't understand sin, how can you possibly understand the need for salvation? This is basic stuff, isn't it? Now again, that's not a problem with this church, but there's a lot of churches out there that are neglecting this. Did you know that interviews with a lot of Christians who attend churches indicate that many of them believe that you can get to heaven without believing in Jesus Christ? Now, if there's people in the church that believe that, can you understand why so many Americans that are outside the church could believe that? You see, the cultic mentality, the New Age mentality, is not just out there. It's in the church as well. It's penetrated many Christian churches, and that's of concern to me. Now, yet another reason for this cultic growth that we see relates to the explosion of relativism in our country. Today's mindset is this. It is the height of presumption to think that one knows the key truth for all people. On the other hand, it is the apex of love to allow others to have their own truth. Thou shalt not interfere with another's reality might be called the first commandment of New Age revelation. How about values clarification? How many of you have kids in school? Okay, a couple of you. Good, I do too. Values clarification is a curriculum that has penetrated many school districts, and it teaches kids relativism. You don't have to base your truth on the Bible. You don't have to base your truth on what your parents say. You can come up with your own truth. I remember that there was a musical artist recently. I don't remember his name. Perhaps some of you can remind me. But this artist wrote a song about values clarification. And in the first chapter, what was his name? Steve Taylor, that's right. The first chorus, or the first part of the song, talks about how this teacher is teaching values clarification to the students. Well, by the end of the song, all these students have the teacher up on their shoulder and they're heading for the window to throw her out the window. That's the value system they came up with, using values clarification. And if truth is relative, who's to say that they were wrong? Well, what we've got today is America is engulfed in a sea of moral confusion. There's no white line down this highway. And when you have a highway with no white line down the middle, you've got a lot of casualties on that highway. And that's what we see happening in our country today from a religious perspective. Now, yet another reason for cultic growth today relates to the disintegration of the family unit. And this may surprise you, but I think it's legitimate. Thank you. There must be a train near here. The disintegration of the family unit. In America today, typically, a family involves a father and a mother who both have to work in order to make ends meet. And typically, they end up working more than 40 hours a week. And many of these parents have bought into the quality time myth. The quality time myth. In fact, most Americans, a whopping 9 out of 10, say that they do not view quantity of time spent with family members as important as the quality of time. You see, it doesn't matter how much time you spend with your kids. What's important is that even if you've only got 10 minutes a day, make it quality time. And that's enough. But you know, it's not enough. In fact, kids spell the word love, T-I-M-E. And here's a very important point that I want to drive home to you. Instead of deriving values from their parents today, many children, many youth, are constructing their own values from what they learn in school, like from programs like values clarification. Do you see the importance of this? If parents do not spend sufficient time with their kids, there is no way to pass on to your kids values, and there's no way to pass on to your kids the doctrinal equipping that you should give your kids. And in a scenario like that, the kids go elsewhere to find their values, which is exactly what's happening today. The cults know that, and that's why a lot of the cults are going after young people. This is something that we as parents need to be aware of. When you mix into the formula here, the scenario, that many of our kids today lack direction, we've got ourselves a recipe for disaster. Many of our kids and youth today have a pervasive lack of direction in their lives, and this makes them more vulnerable. When they see a charismatic leader come along that seems to have all the answers in life, it's very easy for those individuals to latch on and follow that cultic leader. And furthermore, related to what I said earlier, many of these cults actually function as surrogate families. They make you feel like you're a part of something special. And that's something that has caused a lot of these cults to grow. Now, there's another thing I need to bring to your attention. It used to be that you could tell a cult by the way they dressed. You could tell just by having a funny hairdo or maybe a funny robe that they wore. But today, that's not the case. You see, today, the cults have gone mainstream. They're right next door. For example, they have penetrated the public school systems. I've already mentioned to you the values clarification, but we could also talk about curriculum books if we wanted to. In fact, there was one study done of curriculum books which proved pretty convincingly that many curriculum books that are used by our children have been systematically stripped of Christianity, whereas these same books have lots of references to Buddhism and Hinduism and Wicca and various New Age ideas. And that communicates something to kids. When they use books that strip Christianity but still have all these other religious ideas in them, that helps to promote cultic ideas within the school system. We also see a penetration into the workplace today, in the business community. In fact, the business community in America has been thoroughly penetrated by the New Age movement. There was a Wall Street Journal article that reported that business after business is putting its managers into New Age seminars, and they all promise consciousness-raising and non-religious conversion, resulting in a changed person. Now, basically, these seminars teach people how to become your own God. Now, that's very appealing, isn't it? In a culture with a bad self-image like America, what could be better news than to discover that you're your own God? And that's what these seminars do. And not only do you discover that you're your own God, you also discover that you can create your own reality. Now, why do you suppose businesses latch on to that? Anybody have any idea? Well, you know, if your employees can create their own realities, that means they can create wealth. See, and that's the bottom line. That's the reason why so many Fortune 500 companies are sponsoring these New Age seminars. If employees can create reality, they can create wealth. And basically the way these seminars go about it is this. First of all, they charge you a fortune. You have to pay through the roof to go to these seminars. So that should be a red flag. Whenever you see a seminar that costs a fortune, it might be New Age. But beyond that, one of the first things they do is they strip your present worldview. They get up there and they just yell at you and they just berate you for what you believe, and they tell you that your life is an absolute failure or you wouldn't be here. And they just load this onto you for several hours, and people have been known to just fall onto the floor crying in some of these kinds of seminars. Now, once they've stripped your worldview from you, they then lead you through a mystical exercise like visualization or perhaps some kind of a deep meditation. And their goal is to induce in you an altered state of consciousness. And once you have this mystical experience, then their goal is to give you a brand new worldview that explains the experience. It's a New Age worldview where you discover that you are God and you can create your own reality. Fact is, many people have been sucked into the New Age movement as a result of attending these kinds of seminars. Well, how about the health facilities in this country? Has the New Age penetrated health facilities? I think so. In fact, Time magazine reports that alternative New Age medicine is now a $27 billion industry. $27 billion, that's a lot of money. The magazine also noted that about 30% of the people in this country have tried New Age therapies. And their estimates are that 61 million Americans have participated in New Age therapies. Now, the fact is that this can be a back door straight into the New Age movement. It can be a doorway into the world of the occult, and that concerns me because, in fact, there's a lot of Christians out there who are unaware of some of this stuff, and they, too, have participated in some of these New Age therapies. It shouldn't be that way. But, you know, the recent polls indicate that about 23% of Protestants think that New Age practices are compatible with Christianity. That's astonishing to me. That's 1/4 of Protestants believe that certain New Age practices are compatible with Christianity. One example of a New Age health therapy would be therapeutic touch. Has this ever happened to you? Have you been in the hospital and somebody comes into you, like a nurse, and they said, "We're going to give you a therapy right now." And sounds okay, right? It sounds fine. It sounds like it's not threatening at all. But then they start to put their hand above your body and run their hand above you, maybe about a couple of inches above your body. And you ask them, "What are you doing?" And what they're doing is that they are channeling the life energy into your body. And if there are any energy blockages in your body, they're going to get rid of those blockages. And sometimes you'll see them do this. You see, they're sprinkling these energy discharges out of your body. And this is a New Age idea that health comes from balancing the energy in your body. You see, according to New Agers, not only is there a flow of energy in your body that can lead to disease if you have blockages, but they also talk about the need for you to be attuned to the universal energy, which is God. This is New Age stuff. Next time you're in the hospital, Don't let anybody do the therapeutic touch on you. This is New Age stuff, and it's occultic. Now, I hate to say it, but a lot of people in our country have also been influenced towards cultic thought from what's come out of Hollywood. And that may sound like a sensational statement, but I think that the statistics bear witness to the truth of it. Now, you know, I come out of Hollywood. I mentioned to you my conversion experience a while ago, but that used to be my working environment. I met Jesus in the music industry in Hollywood. During those years, I was busy doing a lot of television. I did the Mike Douglas Show and Merv Griffin and Dinah Shore and American Bandstand and a lot of those shows. Right in the middle of doing those shows, I met Jesus. It was actually through working with Pat Boone and his family. And so miracles can happen, praise God, but there's also a lot of New Age occultism in Hollywood. And in fact, many of the screenwriters that write not just for adults, but write for the children's programming are in fact New Agers. Now, I could spend the rest of the hour talking about this issue, but I don't have the rest of the hour, so I'm going to give you the quick version, okay? One of the things we see coming out of Hollywood is the rise of the devil. We have seen so many motion pictures today that exalt the devil. And whenever you see any kind of contest between the true God and the devil, it seems like the devil always wins these days. Movies like The Exorcist, Poltergeist, The Heretic, The Amityville Horror, on and on the list goes. It seems like the devil is getting the top role in Hollywood. Now, simultaneous with this is the fact that we have movies coming out which have brought about the demise of Jesus Christ. There's movies out there like The Temptation of Christ. In this film, it was absolutely repugnant. For example, one of the scenes involved the hallucination sequence in which Jesus, while suffering on the cross, envisioned himself as denying the road to Calvary and having lived a normal life instead. And he visualized himself as having married Mary Magdalene, and he had sexual relations with her. She then died abruptly, and then he married the other Mary, Martha's sister. And later, when this Mary is out of the house, Jesus has an adulterous affair with Martha. Now, I know how repugnant this sounds, but these are just representative examples. We are witnessing the rise of the devil and the demise of Christ coming out of Hollywood. There's other motion pictures I could share with you as well. George Lucas put it very well. Movies are teachers with very loud voices. Movies are teachers with very loud voices. And I can guarantee you, you may not think that you're being influenced, but do you think that your children are escaping unscathed from seeing some of the stuff that's out there? I think it's something to think about. What about cultic ideas being promoted in New York Times bestsellers? You know, I do a lot of reading. I probably read an equivalent of probably close to a book a day on some days, some weeks. Today, there has never been a higher number of books that are New Age or occultic being published. In fact, there are now about 2,500 occult and New Age bookstores in the United States. And there are over 3,000 publishers of occult and New Age books. That's a lot. That is a lot. And even the major secular publishing houses like Bantam and Ballantine have New Age divisions. And the presidents of these divisions will always tell you that this is one of the hottest selling divisions in the book industry, metaphysical books and New Age books. And today, if you walk into big bookstores, you can walk right over to the New Age section. So we've got New Age books invading the bookstores. But you know God is fighting back. I was up at the Bodhi Tree, which is one of the largest New Age bookstores in the world. I mean, this is a major New Age bookstore. And don't ask me how. I have no idea how it happened. But they had a huge row of books of Walter Martin's Kingdom of the Cults. Now go figure it. How could it happen? One of the largest New Age bookstores in the country. An entire row of the Kingdom of the Cults. Only God could do that. So praise the Lord for that. But you've also got a lot of books that are really touching a nerve with Americans. Books by people like Deepak Chopra, Andrew Weil, Bernie Siegel, Marianne Williamson, Kevin Ryerson, Joseph Campbell, Shirley MacLaine. On and on the list goes. And every one of these authors is communicating cultic New Age ideas. And of course, they're all promoted on Oprah Winfrey. I think Oprah Winfrey has launched more cultists into superstardom than anybody else I'm aware of. New Age books have now gone mainstream. And in fact, they are going so mainstream that there are some industry watchers in the publishing industry who have suggested that the New Age bookstores are going to go out of business soon because the major chains are picking up all of these titles, Walden Books and Barnes and Noble and so forth. And that's something to watch. What about media savvy? I believe that one of the reasons for cultic growth is the media savvy of the cults. Bill Moyers once said that that little screen is the largest classroom, perhaps the largest chapel, that God has given us in a very long time. Today, it's estimated that 97% of Americans own televisions, and 98% of them watch television regularly. Americans average about 4 hours a day of viewing television. And this means that over the past year, the typical American adult spent an equivalent of 2 full months, 24 hours a day for 61 days, watching television. Scholarly studies also reveal that kids draw most of their information, or at least a lot of their information, from television, spending an average of more than 10,000 hours watching it by the time they reach 18. By the way, that represents more than one entire year, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, absorbing messages broadcast by television producers. And the typical child in the preschool through sixth grade watches in excess of 30 hours of television per week. Now, I'm not a sensationalist. I'm not an alarmist. But the point that I am making to you is that when you have kids watching this much television, and when you combine that with the fact that a tremendous amount of our children's programming is being written by New Agers, that's something that concerns me. In fact, did you know that shows like Thundercats, She-Ra, He-Man, Masters of the Universe, and the list goes on, all of these kids' TV shows are loaded with occultism, like psychic experiences and out-of-body experiences, occultic symbols, yoga, and a variety of Eastern ideas. And what's tragic is a lot of these kids get up and they watch these shows Saturday morning, and mom and dad have no idea that they're being fed an Eastern diet. This concerns me. Now, I know that we cannot insulate our kids from everything, so I do have a policy with my kids. I monitor what they watch, and I can't keep them from being exposed to certain things, but whenever they come across something that I know is New Age, we always have a little discussion, and it's like a fun test. I just ask them, what did you just see that is not Christian? What did you just see that goes against what we believe as Christians? And so we turn it into kind of a little fun thing. And I think that all of us as parents can do that. We can make it a fun way to communicate Christian discernment to our kids. And if we don't do that, we may end up paying for it later. Now, I've given you a lot of facts. What does this mean to you and me? What does it mean to the average Christian? Well, you know, Jude 3 is a verse that we all ought to memorize. Because this is that verse that tells us to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. Now today, it's been well noted by others that many Christians today are secret agent Christians who have never blown their cover. And as Walter Martin used to put it, we have so many Christians today who have that hideous disease known by its Latin label, non-rockabotus. We've got a lot of Christians fearful of rocking the boat for Jesus Christ and for Christian values. But let me just give you a promise. If you do not rock the boat for Jesus Christ and Christian values, I guarantee you the cults will. The cults will stand up for their values. The cults will stand up for what they believe. And so that's why it's important for you and me as average Christians to get involved. Now, I've got to warn you, you cannot leave this into the hands of the professional clergy. You cannot leave this with Paul or Rich or any of the other speakers you had today. The professionals cannot do it alone. The battle is much too big. And for that reason, I believe that God is calling every single Christian to be involved in his own sphere of influence. Yes, it must be loving, but yes, you must be involved. You must be involved. Blaise Pascal once put it this way, "The entire ocean is affected by a single pebble." Simple statement, but profound truth. every one of us can make a difference. The task begins with a single person, you. Another great thinker once said this, "Let him that would move the world first move himself." We have to start with ourselves. If you really want to see things get better in America, why not take the first step? You, without waiting for others to act, why not take the first step yourself and commit to being an agent of spiritual change in this country? I think you would agree with me that our country has problems. But each one of us can be a part of the solution. We need to learn as Christians how to flex apologetic muscle. But the only way you can do that is by exercising it. Your muscle will go limp if you don't exercise it. Now, I know that a lot of you know what apologetics is all about. It has to do with the defense of the Christian faith. And the fact of the matter is that every Christian is called to the ministry of apologetics. When Jude 3 was written, it was not written to the professionals. It was written to you and me as average Christians. But you know, it's become a lost art, not just among the average Christian, but even in seminaries. You know what scares me? There's a lot of seminaries that are putting out pastors, and they haven't even had any apologetics in those seminaries. That is a scary thought. You see, and those pastors that go through those seminaries and get out there in the real world, they have no idea of what they're going to face from the kingdom of the cults. They have no idea that there are cultists who attend their church services watching for new converts who will then go up to those new converts and ask them to attend a new Bible study that they have. And new converts get sucked into the world of the cults by that methodology. Many pastors are unaware of this. They've had no apologetics training. We are to contend for the faith. And if you don't contend for the faith, the cults will contend for their belief system. Now, 1 Peter 3:15 tells us to be prepared with an answer. And we need to be able to give that answer with gentleness and respect. Folks, wish I had another 3 hours to go on this, but I don't. But that gentleness and respect is so important. I have seen so many apologists who have strong answers, but their life does not exude commitment to Jesus Christ. And you need to understand that the world recognizes that. Now think back in your own life, if you would. Can you think back in your life to a godly man or woman that you saw just from their very being, from their very essence, that they were sold out totally to Jesus Christ? If that person came up to you and said something to you, would you listen? You would, wouldn't you? What about the flip side of the coin? Do you know any Christians that are really smart and they seem to have all the answers, but their lives are just missing it? The commitment to Christ just doesn't seem to be there. The respect, the respect for the dignity and for compassion and love and so forth seems to be a missing element in their lives. It shouldn't be that way. One of the strongest apologetics is a man or a woman who walks with God, and answers that come from that kind of person will be listened to. That's the kind of apologist I would like to see you become. That's the kind of lay apologist I would like to see developed among people. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Well, how can you become equipped? Let me close with this. First of all, attend all the conferences sponsored by individuals like this. Now, Rich is holding up a sign that says 5 minutes left. I'll beat that. I'll probably do it in 2 minutes. First of all, do attend these kinds of conferences. Come out, unclean spirit. I'll have to tell them what you're really like, Rich, if you don't behave. It is getting late, isn't it? Now, about this time of night, something happens to Rich. Pam, I don't know how you do it. You're a funny guy. No, I tell you what, it's fun. Do attend these kinds of conferences. But beyond that, there's some other specific steps that you can take. For example, I really think it would be a beneficial thing for you to get on the mailing list of all these ministries here so they can keep in contact with you. Fact of the matter is the more in touch you are with apologetic ministries, the more they can help you become equipped for you to do what you need to do. Another thing you can do is make sure that your own church is doing something like this church is doing. Make sure that your own pastor has some kind of an apologetics program going. I know that today is not the style to be into apologetics, but why don't you take the first step? Why don't you be the aggressor in making sure that it happens? Every church ought to be having courses on this. But beyond this, there are some specific steps that you can take to be salt and light in society. You know, Jesus has called us to be salt and light. And if you just give me one more minute, I'll tell you some areas where you can make a difference. Just to give you a couple ideas, you can be salt and light in your own family. Now, that's where it begins. Make sure that you set Christ first in your family. Make sure that your kids can see it. Make sure that your kids understand that there is one ruler in your family, and that's the person of Jesus Christ. When you make a mistake, let your kids know that you made a mistake and that you've repented before the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, if kids see the authority of Christ demonstrated in your life, it will have a profound impact on them. That's what we do in our family. When I blow it, I apologize publicly. I let my kids know I've done wrong and that I've repented before the Lord Jesus. It's an important thing. We can also be salt and light by influencing school curriculums. Some school curriculums have New Age ideas in some of the books. Well, there have been communities of Christians who have joined together and with one strong voice have stood against some of these curriculums and overturned them. You can do it. How about at the workplace? You can be salt and light at the workplace by reflecting how Christ affects your own ethics and your own actions. We can be respectful, but take an unbending and firm stand against New Age seminars. And as well, we can be active in society by standing against societal intruders like secular humanism and moral relativity wherever these things come up. But you know, it all begins with you. You will either be a soldier engaged in the battle, as Walter Martin used to say, or you will be a casualty on the sideline. Which one will it be? Thank you.